everyone, for a few moments, just listen. See what sounds we hear. We're at Vrindakund now, which is a very sacred, holy, and powerful place. We will be hearing about the glories of Vrindadevi, Tulsi Devi, in a few moments. But I was thinking that everyone should please remember why we're here, why we've come to this japa retreat, and why we've come to Vrindakund. This morning, we, especially with the wonderful prayers and the seeing the Abhishek of Sisi Panchatattva, and hearing the very powerful heart-rendering kirtan by His Holiness Naranjana Maharaj, and the prayers, all very, very powerful. We wanted to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because although we must endeavor, we still need so much mercy. Remember why we have come to this japa retreat. Remember why we have come to Breja. And remember now why we have come to Vrindakund, to beg the mercy of Vrindadevi to allow us to chant Krishna's names in a very deep way. I wanted to remind the devotees just of the six very simple points or advice that I had offered yesterday. Please keep these in mind during the entirety of the retreat. The first was, have a strong desire, a strong spiritual desire, a deep desire, and deeply desire a transformation to occur in the heart. This. And in your desire, be as specific as you can. Desiring is the beginning. Second, we should hope. Hope for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And here, we should especially hope for the mercy of Vrindadevi. Third, look for Krishna's mercy. Expect Krishna's mercy. See Krishna's mercy in everything that happens and try to discern what Krishna wants us to do. Look for His hints. Sometimes Krishna's mercy is very, very subtle. Sometimes it's as clear as the hand in front of my face. But be open and receptive. And look for hints again how we can progress towards fulfilling our desire. And then be deep, prayerful, and sober. The opposite of sobriety or being sober is being intoxicated. Intoxicated means being enamored by the material world. It is an intoxication. It is illusion. It is not reality. Be sober about what your purpose is. Be focused on your desire and put energy into that. Be deep and prayerful. We're here to chant, to pray, to hear, to associate with the devotees. Especially we're here to see if Vrinda Devi will kindly bestow one drop of mercy upon us. It takes one drop to drown the entire world. And how much do you need then? How much do I need? One drop of Krishna prema can drown the entire world. So we don't need very much. So we're little beggars. But be focused, sober, and prayerful. Fifth, chant Hare Krishna as much as you can. As much as possible, as much as practical. But keep our minds focused on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then finally, service. If Krishna offers you an opportunity to serve the devotees, please take it. Be in a humble serving mood. Nani Machati? Hare Krishna, how are you?
Now, see what happens? We ask for one seat and we get so many. Enough to distribute to others. Until there's just enough. Slowly. Mataji has so many deep things in her heart. They all want to come out at once sometimes.
Gangeya champeya tadit penindi Gangeya champeya tadit penindi Rachi pavaha snapitat mavinde Rachi pavaha snapitat mavinde Vanduka bandhu Tuti Divya Vasa Vanduka bandhu Tuti Divya Vasa Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda
Oh Vrindavan, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. You are bathed in your own splendor, which defeats the effulgence of lightning and the golden champaka flower. The luster of your transcendental garments is the friend of Leandilia flower. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Bimba tarajit paramandahasya Bimba tarajit paramandahasya Nasa Pramukta Juti Divitasya Nasa Pramukta Juti Divitasya Vichitaratna Paranashiyatya Vichitaratna Paranashiyatya Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda
O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Your face is illuminated by the splendor of the pearl decorating the tip of your nose and by the extraordinary gentle smile on the two bimba fruits which are your lips. You are enriched by the beauty of the amazing and colorful jewels and ornaments you wear. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
samasta vaikuntha shiromana shi krishnasya vrindavana tanya tamye
krishnasya vrindavana tanya tamye
tata tikare vishabhadi putya
tata tikare vishabhadi putya
vrinde namaste charanara Vrinde namaste charanarvindam.
Vrinde namaste charanarvindam. Oh, Vrinde, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, has made you the ruling monarch of Lord Krishna's opulent and auspicious abode of Vrindavan, which is the crest jewel of all the Vaikuntha planets. All Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Tvat akaya palava pushpa bringa akaya palava pushpa bringa mriga jikirma java kheli kanja Madhva dhikir bhanti vipushyamana
Madhva dhikir bhanti vipushyamana
Vrinde namaste charanarvindam Vrinde namaste charanarvindam
Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Because of your order, the groves where Lord Madhava performs his pastimes appear very splendid, decorated with blossoming flowers, bumblebees, deer, and other auspicious animals, flowers, and birds. Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Tadiya dutyena nikunja yuna Atyut kaya keli vilasa siti
Atyut kaya keli vilasa siti
Tvatsa vagam kena niruchyatam ta
Tvatsa vagam kena
niruchyatam ta Vrinde namaste charanarvindam
Vrinde namaste
charanarvindam
Vrinde namaste
charanarvindam Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Who can describe your good fortune? You were the messenger who brought about the perfection of the amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the youthful couple who enthusiastically sport in the groves of Vrindavan. Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Rasa pilasa vasatis cha vrinda
Rasa vasatis cha vrinda
Vane tare shankri saraja seha
Vane tare shankri saraja seha
Labhya cha punsam kripaya tameha
Labhya cha punsam kripaya tameha
Vrinde namaste charanarvindam Vrinde namaste charanarvindam
Vrinde
namaste charanarvindam
Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. The living entities who attain the service of the lotus feet of your Lord reside in Vrindavan. And the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the rasa dance is only by your mercy. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Tvam ke ce se sat patatam tabitvi Lila vitana kila krishna shakti Tava eva martis tulasi nidake Vrinde namaste charanarinda Vrinde namaste charanarinda
O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who have studied the Satvita Tantra glorify you. You are Lord Krishna's potency for performing pastimes, and you are known as Tulsi Devi in the human society. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Bhaktiya vidhina aparadha lakshay Shiptas chakamari taranga madhye Kripa maricham sharanam vakana Vrinde namaste charanarinda Vrinde namaste charanarinda
Vrinde namaste charanarinda O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who are devoid of devotion to Lord Hari and who are thrown by their offenses into the waves of lust and other inauspicious qualities may take shelter of you. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet.
Vrindastatamya shinuyat patetva Vrinda Vanati Shapada Chidrinda Saprapya Vrinda Vananitya Vasam
Saprapya Vrinda Vananitya Vasam
Tat Prema Sevam Lavate Gitatta
O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Let a person who becomes like a bumblebee at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and who reads or hears these 8 verses describing the glories of Vrindadevi, eternally resides at Golok Dham, Goloka Vrindavan. He attains devotional service and pure love of Godhead, and all his spiritual aspirations become fulfilled. Thus, we are blessed by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur with this wonderful prayer.
Mukam karati vachalam bhangam nang kayate girim yakipantam ham vande shi gurum tiltarnam om gyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshir meditam yena tasamai shri gurave namaha. First, we would like to offer our respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has brought Vrindavan Dham to us in the Western world. If it were not for him, we would not be here. So Guru Das, 1971, in Vrindavan, asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, are people here liberated even if they don't have a bona fide spiritual master?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, because Vrindavan is directly under Krishna's supervision. Krishna is their spiritual master." Gurudas said, "I think it's better to have you as a spiritual master than to be born in Vrindavan." Then Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is a Vaishnava attitude." I remember that wherever my Guru Maharaj went, Vrindavan was there also. Since the bona fide spiritual master carries the Vrindavan atmosphere with him, it's better to be with him. So Gurudas said, "We're in the best situation of all, Prabhupada. We have both you and Vrindavan." And Prabhupada said, "I'm simply Vrindavan's messenger. Vrindavan is revealed in the heart of the sincere devotee. In reality, it's not on any map, nor is it part of any country." So here we are in Vrindakund, and we want to enter Vrindavan Dham. The word van of Vrindavan means forest. Vrindavan is the name given to the forest where Srimati Vrindadevi, or Tulsi Devi, grows profusely. Vrindadevi Forest. Another name of Tulsi or Vrinda, they're both the same, actually. Vrindadevi, Tulsi Devi. And Vrindadevi is the one who awards residence in Vrindavan. So we're here to beg residence in Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur, we're supposed to sing every morning, Tulsi Puja. Kripa kori koro thare Vrindavan vase Namo namo. Dear Tulsi, please bestow your mercy on me so I may forever reside in Vrindavan. So we're begging to Vrindadevi to reside in Vrindavan. This forest is named after her. She actually appeared here and performed austerities for 60,000 years. Vrindadevi. She was born as the daughter of Emperor Kedara, a very pious king that attained Goloka Vrindavan. So she sanctified the forest by her penance, and then she went to Goloka. And ever since, this forest has been known as Vrindavan. Pleased by Vrindadevi's austerities, Lord Vishnu granted a boon to this Vrindavan forest. Any penance performed here will quickly fructify and bear excellent results. So we can pray for her blessings that our japa austerity, our japa yajna, will bear excellent results. And here it says, quickly fructify. Very quickly we will get results. Later on, Tulsi Devi appeared as the daughter of King Kushadwaj, and she performed penance here, and she attained perfection as well. So I'd just like to read you a story about the importance of worshipping Tulsi Devi, Vrindadevi. And it is a story about Radharani. Since we're in Varshana most of the time, we will also think of Radharani here also in Vrindakund. You can think about Radharani. This story comes from Garga Samhita. Radharani was filled with the anguish of separation from Krishna. Always thinking of his handsome form, she thought the three worlds had become like a single blade of grass. Going to a window, as her two friends pointed to Krishna, gazing at Krishna as he walked the narrow path from his own forest here near Nandagram to Vrishabhanu's palace, he was walking, and she saw him on the way. She fainted. Lalita said, "Radha, why are you unconscious? If you wish to attain Krishna, give all your love to him." Even now you have found that person that brings all happiness to the world, your heart still burns like fire. Hearing Lalita's words, Radha opened her eyes and spoke in a faltering voice. She said, "If I cannot attain his feet, which now decorate this land of Braj, I will not keep my body alive." So then Radharani consulted her friend Chandranana, who is very learned in the Shastras. She asked Chandranana, "Please tell me what kind of worship I should perform to please Sri Krishna. Worship that will bring auspiciousness, piety, and the fulfillment of my desire." So her friend Chandranana said to Radharani, "O Radha, service to Tulsi gives the greatest piety, the greatest good fortune, and the greatest benediction. It gives Lord Krishna's association. You should always gaze on Tulsi, touch her, remember her, glorify her, bow down before her, offer prayers to her, plant her, and worship her, and she will grant your desire. One who plants Tulsi liberates his family. As many branches, sub-branches, seeds, flowers, and leaves as are on the Tulsi he has planted, so many ancestors and descendants in his family for thousands of Kalpa Yugas will go to Lord Krishna's transcendental abode. So if you have family problems, plant a Tulsi. Take good care of the Tulsi. And all your family members will be liberated. O Radha, by offering Lord Krishna a single Tulsi leaf, one attains the result of offering him every flower and every leaf that exists. One Tulsi leaf. On a single Tulsi leaf, the holy places, beginning with Pushkar, the sacred rivers, beginning with Ganga, the deities headed by Lord Vasudeva reside. They're all living on one Tulsi leaf. So then, after hearing Chandranana's words, Radharani, queen of the Rasa dance, to please Lord Krishna, began to serve Sri Tulsi Devi. Taking Tulsi, beautiful with many green leaves, to the middle of a Kaitaki forest, and placing her in a Tulsi temple that was round, tall, 100 hastas in size, beautiful with walls of golden rubies, splendid with an outer wall of emeralds, diamonds, and pearls, decorated with chintamani gems, arched gateways, gold flags, and gold awnings everywhere. And she worshipped Tulsi Devi. And she attained Krishna. In the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali says that one can control the mind, the thought waves, by fixing his mind on one who has transcended human passions and attachments. So if you think of Tulsi Devi, you can pacify your heart, pacify your mind, purify your heart, and increase your concentration on japa. Very, very powerful to chant in front of Tulsi. This was Haridas Thakur's practice. He used to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, 3 lakhs or 300,000 names a day, in front of the Tulsi plant. Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency. Simply by doing this, one can become spiritually strong. You're feeling weakness? Go chant in front of Tulsi. Then Prabhupada says, "We request, therefore, the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly." 300,000 names a day?
No.
He says, chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering respects to the Tulsi plant difficult. This process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. So later on, we're going to give you all this opportunity to chant with Tulsi Devi. Hare Krishna.
Wow.
Well, so I have nice. Another story, but that's okay. I think it's enough. We'll just leave it. We'll leave it with that.
There's a lot of complaints from up there. One more.
It's not about Radharani, though.
What's it about?
It's about the power of Tulsi, a literate Brahmin. An illiterate Brahmin.
Then what happened?
So this illiterate Brahmin was he didn't live like a Brahmin. He lived like a very low-class farmer. Never performed any religious activities. So one time, he went to collect some grass to sell. On the way, he came to a Tulsi garden and decided to pick some Tulsi to sell also. Just then, the span of his life finished. Unseen by him, the Yamadutas approached. They commanded a deadly cobra, "By your poisonous bite, you go and bring death to this person. Quickly bite him before he touches the sacred Tulsi. If death comes to him when he's in touch with Tulsi, then he will certainly go beyond our reach." The cobra proceeded towards the Brahmin, who did not see the snake. But by that time, he had picked a good quantity of Tulsi. Lord Vishnu's powerful Sudarshan Chakra weapon appeared. Now the Brahmin was fully protected by Sudarshan. Unnoticed, the snake entered the bundle of picked grass. The Brahmin put the bundle on his head and began walking to the village.
Was the Tulsi in the bundle?
It was somewhere, but I don't know if it was in the bundle. I think it was separate. It seems to be he had the bundle of grass and he had some Tulsi too. Mm. And the snake and the grass were on his head.
Oh, no.
And the Yamadutas and the Sudarshan Chakra are coming behind.
What an adventure.
Invisibly, the Sudarshan Chakra and Yamadutas were following him, and the snake was waiting for an opportune moment to bite. The Yamadutas could feel the scorching heat coming from the Sudarshan Chakra. Meanwhile, the Brahmin arrived at the house of a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. The devotee, by his pure devotion to the Lord, was able to perceive the whole situation. Amazed to see the wonderful power of Tulsi, with great curiosity, the saintly Vaishnava inquired from the Yamadutas what happened. The Yamadutas explained the Sudarshan Chakra had come to the protection of the sinful Brahmin, and they were just waiting till he put the Tulsi down. At that time, the cobra would bite him, and they would take him to the abode of Yamraj. Feeling compassion for the ignorant Brahmin, that Vishnu Bhakta said to the messengers of death, "Please, show mercy on the Brahmin. You've said that as soon as he puts the Tulsi down, the snake will bite and kill him. But this Brahmin has collected the sacred Tulsi for me. Therefore, I request you, please, spare his life." Yamadutta said, "What can we do? We're only carrying out the orders of our master. This Brahmin only has 2 muhurtas left to the span of his life. Then he'll be bitten by the cobra and die. Only Lord Hari can save him. If you offer Tulsi to Lord Hari, he may be pleased to grant your prayer." Here's a comment. Whether one is virtuous or sinful, if he worships Lord Vishnu with Tulsi, we can say Krishna. We cannot approach him, the Yamadutta said. After his death, he'll be carried to Vaikuntha by the messengers of Lord Vishnu. So then that pure devotee did a special puja to Vishnu with an offering of Tulsi. Before the eyes of the Brahmins, the cobra and the Yamadutas left the place. The Vishubhakta explained everything to the Brahmin. They both went on pilgrimage, and they offered special worship to Lord Hari, and at the end of their lives, they went back to Godhead. So therefore, the moral of the story is always keep in touch with Tulsi, somehow or other. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I would like to speak a few words about Vrindakund, where we are now. In 1989, Madhava Baba, who was the person who inaugurated the discovery of this place, Vrindakund, he came to ISKCON with two requests. Primarily, he wanted that the ISKCON devotees would accept responsibility for maintenance of this Vrindakund. And secondarily, he sought their shelter at this time towards the very end of his life. So a small group of devotees took care of this elderly Babaji, and he stayed in the Krishna Balaram guest house. And he lived until, I think, 1990, at which time he had given this Vrindakund into the care of ISKCON. So I had the good fortune at that time to come and see him. There was a very small temple here, just a cement building, and there were no nice steps like this. This was just a very simple kund, and there was a little muddy kund at the back here, the Gupta kund. And I asked him, this was just perhaps months before he was to leave this world, I asked him if he would tell me something about Vrindadevi. So he said to me that he spoke English, and he was a very spirited man. He had taken up the mood of Vrindadevi, and he had gone here and there in Vrindavan and protected various sacred sites from the damage of people who were wanting to take some material advantage. And so I asked him, and he said to me at that time, if you had come earlier, I could have told you more. But everything about Vrindadevi is here within the Vrindadevi Astikam. So I was just sitting here as we were chanting and thinking, remembering that he had said that, and going through these verses, if you have the verses before you. First of all, the verses by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're like in a condensed form. Everything about Vrindadevi in Vrindavan is there. That she has a golden complexion, and she wears blue garments, and many, many beautiful, colorful jewels and ornaments surround her neck and on her arms and so forth, and on her ankles. That Vrindadevi is the ruling monarch of Vrindavan. She has been made so by the arrangement of Srimati Radharani. Now, that sounds very regal, but Vrindadevi is just a young gopi girl in Vrindavan, like all the other gopis. Yet she has this special position, that she's in charge of so many of the arrangements that are made. Then in verse 4 we hear that because of her order, this is how she's in charge, she arranges that the forests bloom, she arranges that the peacocks fan their feathers out and dance, she arranges that the parrots who fly around as we hear them up in the trees, that they go from place to place with messages telling if something is about to happen that will interfere with the meeting of Radha and Krishna. And she also goes from place to place and tells all the animals and birds that now Krishna is coming, so wake up, because when Krishna is not there, the forest of Vrindavan feels like somebody in mourning, very, very unhappy. When Krishna appears, then the forest becomes alive for his pleasure. She also acts as a duty or a messenger. She takes messages and arranges very expertly the meetings of Radha and Krishna in many, many clever ways. She is very, very expert at this. And she takes advice and shares her concerns with Purnamasi Devi, who is like the guru of all the Brijavasis in Vrindavan. Now, all of these are all to do with her pastimes. But here in verse 6, what struck me as we were chanting was this sentence that says,
And the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the Rasa dance is only by your mercy. The desire is the mercy of Vrinda Devi. So if we're here and we have some desire, that's the mercy of Vrinda Devi. And if we're here and we wish we had some desire, that also is the mercy of Vrinda Devi. And we should pray to Vrinda Devi that somehow or other, I wish I had a desire to understand Krishna and his pastimes. This would be so very valuable to me. And Vrinda Devi in verse 7, we hear that she is Tulsi Devi. So here we see before us a beautiful Tulsi Stamba, and Tulsi Devi is here. And we've heard from Narayani Mataji the importance of chanting before Tulsi, the potency of Tulsi, the auspicious nature of Tulsi, and how dear Tulsi is to Radha and Krishna. Then verse 8 is very nice for us. Those who are devoid of devotion to Lord Hari and who are thrown by their offences into the waves of lust and other inauspicious qualities may take shelter of you. So whenever I have ever sung the Vrinda Devi Astakam, this I am afraid is my favourite verse because it seems the most relevant, the closest to where I am, the one that is most applicable. And then let us hear again the benediction of chanting and being here at Vrindakund, hearing about Vrinda Devi, seeking her blessings on our japa and our visit to Vrindavan, and chanting this Vrinda Devi Astakam. Let a person who becomes like a bumblebee at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and who reads or hears these 8 verses describing the glories of Vrinda Devi, eternally reside at Goloka Vrindavan. He attains devotional service in pure love of God, and this is the verse, this is the line that struck me, and all his spiritual aspirations become fulfilled. So I think for everyone it's self-evident why we have come first here to Vrindakund, and why Vrinda Devi is so important for us to take shelter of, and how we can most benefit from hearing about her, from chanting here, from seeing her beautiful deity form, and from just wandering around in this Vrindakund. Thank you very much.
But you were going to say something about the meaning of Vrindakund too.
The meaning?
The meaning and what happened. Why is this place here?
The pastime of Vrindakund. So if you notice that we're in Nandagram, we're on the western side of Nandagram, and from here you can look this way and you can see a very nice view of Nandagram, the palace, the temple actually on top of the hill, Nandeshwar Hill. So when Krishna comes in the morning, when Srimati Radharani comes in the morning from Javat, which is this way, she comes to Nandagram and she cooks breakfast for Krishna. And Krishna takes her breakfast. She's very shy. She comes with her girlfriends and they prepare everything in the kitchen of the Nandagram palace. And then after that, Krishna, he takes his breakfast and then he goes to rest, lie down for a few minutes before going out for cow herding. And by the mercy of Vrinda Devi, because as I said, she arranges the meetings of Radha and Krishna, she brings Srimati Radharani in a very secret way through gardens and through passages over here to Vrindakund. And then Krishna also, he can come very easily over to Vrindakund. And there he has a morning meeting. Radha and Krishna meet. So this Guptakund is particularly famous because this is one of the 3 yoga pits or the places of meetings of Radha and Krishna. And in the morning they meet here at Guptakund. The Vrindakund right here is the place where Vrinda Devi herself takes her bath. So if you place some of that water on your head, then you will benefit greatly from Vrinda Devi's mercy. So this is the pastime mood that is related to this particular place within the Nandagram sector of Braj.
Is that all right?
That's all right.
My dear retreatees, now I'm reading this. Who do you think I am being the messenger of as I read it?
It's true. It's true. This is the letter from Satchinanda Maharaj that he gave me to read to you all. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Let me express my sincere admiration and congratulate you for going on this retreat. It is a bold step to answer to the eternal invitation of the Lord. And you have all taken this step. We leave the old world to enter a new one and discover the treasures which the Lord has lovingly put for us there. You will all be successful in your own ways. Be assured. In Vrindavan, the Lord will surely give you what you are looking for. This is a very important time for all of you. May it be a blessed time. I am with you in spirit. The chains of time hold me in Mumbai, but I am with you for sure. All the best, your servant, Satchinandana Swami. And as I said yesterday on the phone, he said to offer you all two words of advice. Be focused in your desire and put energy into that desire, into your focus. The pastimes or the activities of Krishna that Vrinda Devi assists with are amazing. What is the Sanskrit word for amazing? Ascharyavat. Yeah? Yes? Adbhuta? Ascharyavat also. Amazing, inconceivable, very difficult to understand. Practically speaking, or actually speaking, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan are impossible to understand. We have no ability to enter into them by our own power. We simply don't have the ability. No matter how potent our abilities are, they are all insufficient to understand the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Because they are not material at all. Radha and Krishna meet. And Krishna does something that very much resembles an activity of this world. And Srimati Radharani will do something that resembles an activity of this world. But actually their activities, their pastimes, have nothing at all to do with the material world. They are nothing at all like the dealings between a young, beautiful boy and a young, beautiful girl of this world. But because my consciousness is very much of this world, when I hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, I relate them consciously, subconsciously, to the activities of this world, but they have nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. Prabhupada used the expression, someone chanting Radha, Radha, or Radhe, Radhe, and someone asks him why. He's chanting with such heartfelt affection and with tears coming from his eyes, and he says, Radha, the barber's wife, is so beautiful. So it's something like that. But these pastimes of Vrindavan have nothing to do with the material world, even though they appear to resemble the activities of the material world, just like the reflection of the beautiful sweet rice and tasty sweet rice resembles the actual item, the fragrant sweet rice itself. but there is no true substance in the reflection. There is no nourishment in the reflection because it is not real. It is simply a reflection. My dear retreatees, my dear devotees, I would like to say something about the kind of activities that Vrindadevi does by reading a very amazing pastime that Vrindadevi takes place, that she participates in this land of Vrindavan, in the spiritual world that has nothing to do with the material world, despite the fact it appears something like the material world in the same way the material world, the reflection, is quite very much resembles the actual item, the sweet rice. But please know that this has nothing to do with matter. And therefore, matter can gain us no entrance, but rather, there is one way to enter, and that is by prema bhakti, which is a gift, basically speaking, of the causeless mercy of Krishna and his devotees, based on tatra loyam api mula mekalam, the intense and pure desire of the devotee to taste the service of his Lord with his full heart. Now, it is well known that when Krishna would leave early in the morning to herd the cows with his friends, that it was a very happy time. For whom? For the cowherd boys. And for the cows. But it was a terrible time. It was a terrible time of suffering, spiritual suffering, ecstatic spiritual suffering, for all those who were left behind, the gopas, the gopis, the elder and younger gopis. The love for the residents of Vrindavan that they had for Krishna is not possible for us to understand, but try to understand how they were tortured when they would blink their eyes and could not see Krishna for that nimesha, that momentary fraction of a second. It was torture for them to be separated from Krishna for that amount of time. That is love for Krishna. When Krishna would walk behind a tree, the cowherd boys could not see him for a moment. And they would go mad in ecstasy. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And here am I, a very unfortunate conditioned soul who is separated from Krishna and doesn't even care. And yet, I want to take my camera and go to the spiritual world so I can come down and show a slideshow and tell everyone, you'll never guess where I was. Oh, you've been to the spiritual world? Yes. In other words, some selfish desire or another plagues my heart. But when our desire is unshakably based on prema, on love, it is completely different. Love means service for the benefit of the beloved. So when Krishna would leave for the forest, Mother Yasoda practically couldn't let him leave. And she would walk out with him and say, okay, Krishna, and all the boys, you surround him on this side, Subhadra on one side, and this one on this side, and Balaram, you stay right next to Krishna in case anything happens to him. You protect him. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mai, we will do that. Okay, Krishna, here, take this food with you. You'll get hungry. Yes, Mother. I'm okay, Mother. I'll go now. Okay, my son. Please be careful. Yes, Mother. And Krishna would walk another 10 or 15 meters, and Mother Yasoda would say, But remember, please, be careful where you walk. Remember, your feet are so tender. Yes, Mother, I'll be careful. Okay, Krishna. May I go now? Yes, Krishna. And again and again and again, she would follow him step by step. She simply could not bear to be separate from him. But eventually, and the cowherd boys, they were thinking, when's our time to be with Krishna? When does it come? Because when boys are alone, they'll play and have their time, and when the adults are around, they can't play in the same way. So they were patiently waiting, and then at some point, Mother Yasoda would return to start cooking for Krishna. And then the cowherd boys and Krishna, even Krishna would feel such a sense of relief because all the adults were always looking at them and they couldn't be themselves when there's adults there. So as soon as the adults were away, they all felt a great sense of relief. And then the boys started teasing Krishna and they started imitating Krishna, what a good boy he was in front of Mother Yasoda, and they were imitating that. And then they would take cloths and put it over the head, and then they would imitate the gopis and how the gopis would look at Krishna out of the corner of their eye and imitate that, and they would laugh and they would play and they would joke around and they would play their flutes and they would wrestle and they would take their sticks and twirl their sticks around. And they would use their sticks as spears, and I will challenge you, and I will def-. And they would just play and play and play and play. And then they got to the edge of the Vrindavan forest. Now the Vrindavan forest, under the complete control, the inspirational control of Vrindadevi, as Jagatrini Mataji was saying, it was feeling stunned because all the animals and the trees, when Krishna would leave the forest the day before to return to Nandagaon, they would be shocked. And all the animals would follow Krishna, the deer and the peacocks and the bumblebees, but they could fly, yes. But so could the peacocks for a short distance. They would wait at the edge of the Vrindavan forest. They couldn't go into the town of Vrindavan. They would wait on the edge of the Vrindavan forest and just waiting for Krishna to return the next day. They all were preparing their offerings, and now they couldn't offer. All the trees had their fruits, and the peacocks had their dancing and their feathers and their meow. Are there any good peacock imitators? Oh, it is. Oh. Cuckoos! Yes. Yes. And who else? What other birds were there waiting for Krishna? And they were waiting silently for a moment, stunned. And then, when Krishna is entering the forest the next morning, Vrindadevi comes and calls everyone back to life, awakens them from their being stunned. Krishna is entering the forest. All trees, give your fruits and flowers. All birds, begin your reverie of your song. Krishna is coming. Bees, fly. Creepers, blossom. But they were stunned. And to awaken them, Krishna would begin to play his flute, and the parrots would begin to chirp. And then the breeze would come, and the breeze would carry the fragrance of Krishna's body, and it would cover Vrindavan. And the combination of Vrindadevi's call, Krishna's flute, and the breeze carrying the fragrance of Krishna's body would awaken Vrindavan to life. And the boys would be playing. And Krishna, though, now separated from the elderly members of the coward community, would be missing Srimati Radharani. Even while playing, even while caring for his Sarabi cows, who were like an ocean of white, he would be missing Srimati Radharani. And everything in Vrindavan, in the forest, would remind Krishna the way that the birds were making their sounds. Would remind Krishna of the tinkling of the ankle bells of Srimati Radharani and the way that the peacocks would open their tail feathers would remind Krishna of Srimati Radharani as they would dance. It would remind Srimati of Srimati Radharani's hair when it was disheveled and when a white lotus would open its blossom and a big black bumblebee would enter into that blossom. It would remind Krishna of the movement of Srimati Radharani's eyes as they searched for Krishna. And Krishna was feeling, even though he was keeping outside in one way as he was playing, he was feeling great separation and great pain. And then suddenly, Dhanishta, who is Krishna Sneha Dik, who is one of Krishna's gopis, she came to feed the cowherd boys, because Mother Yasoda had cooked so many wonderful foods, cooked in ghee and yogurt and milk. For a snack, every hour she would send out food for the boys. And Dhanishta, with many maidservants, had come so the boys could have a picnic. So Krishna was so happy because the boys were tired from their playing. So they all sat in a big circle, and somehow, by his amazing unlimited potency, Krishna was facing everyone, and he was feeding everyone, and he was joking with everyone and playing, and the boys were feeling refreshed. And then Krishna took Dhanishta and said, or she actually understood his heart's mood. And Krishna said, he took Subal by the hand and he took Marumangal by the hand and said, we want to go, while you're eating, he said to the cowherd boys, we want to go and examine the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan. We'll be back in 1 minute. And Dhanishta at that time said to her maidservants, please go ahead. I want to pick some flowers for the pleasure of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. I'll be with you in a minute. So Krishna, Subal, Maro Mangal, and Dhanishta and Vrindadevi started walking off. And Krishna expressed to them and said, you are the greatest of diplomats. You know how to get things done in this world in a proper way. I have to tell you that I'm missing my Srimati. I'm missing Radhika. Please arrange for her to come. And just then, as Krishna was saying that, Tulsi Manjari arrived. And Tulsi Manjari is like Srimati Radharani's shadow. Because when the shadow is there, the substance is there. So soon as Krishna saw Tulsi, how old is Tulsi? Huh? 12, 11, 10, very, very young. He thought, oh, this means that my Srimati is here. Where is Srimati Radharani? She's here. Where is she, though? And then Tulsi told the truth. She can't get out of the house. And Jatila, her mother-in-law, trusts no one. And Krishna thought, how could I get? I have to meet with her. I have to see her. Krishna's heart breaks in separation for Srimati Radharani. This is not of this world. This is the dealings of the spiritual world. These are the dealings of Goloka Vrindavan that occur eternally, based on love for Krishna. And then they thought, if Kundalata, Krishna said, Kundalata, Jatila, for some reason, trust Kundalata. Send her. You're so expert, Tulsi. Get Kundalata to tell Jatila anything, anything, just so that Srimati Radharani can come. And then Tulsi felt bad. Because first she had said that Krishna was coming, Srimati Radharani was here. And then he had to tell Krishna the truth. She had to tell Krishna the truth that Srimati Radharani wasn't here. And Krishna was feeling so sad. How can the material mind understand this? How could the religionists of the world understand this? That Krishna is feeling ecstatically sad. One time I went to the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And I saw there were so many priceless carpets on the walls. And usually they had a picture of some saint or another, and there was an effulgence in the corner of the carpet. And this saint, bearded and very, very sincere, was looking at the effulgence like this, because God, and his effulgence was fearsome and no one can approach the Supreme Lord. But how can anyone understand Vrindavan, where the Lord is feeling sad? He's not effulgently frightening everyone, but he's feeling sad in separation from his devotees. How can anyone understand this very deep, most deep understanding of Vrindavan Krishna, of Shyama Sunda, of Gopinath, of Govinda, or of Radha Damodar, or Damodar, where Mother Yasoda, because Krishna has stolen butter, Mother Yasoda picks up a stick, and she's holding it, and the Supreme Lord is going like this. How can anyone understand the power of love, of this special kind of love? Even Kunti Devi couldn't understand it. And Krishna, tears are streaming from Krishna's eyes, and the mascara is running down his face from the tears. How can anyone understand this? Kunti Devi says, this is bewildering me. And one of the most exalted commentators on the Bhagavatam comments that Kunti Devi is bewildered because the Supreme All-Powerful Lord is imitating the activities of an ordinary child, and this is bewildering her. But Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say, no, that is not the reason Kunti Devi is bewildered at all. The real reason that she's bewildered is because Krishna, the all-powerful Lord, when Mother Yasoda holds up her stick, he's actually experiencing fear of being punished. His consciousness, because of her love, his consciousness has become compressed. Compressed like an ordinary naughty boy whose mother is going to punish him and he's afraid. How can anyone understand this? Unless one is extremely pure. And this is why we've come here. This is why we've come to Vrindavan. Because we are not, or at least I should speak for myself, not a wealthy person. With no piety. So many horrible sanskars. So we come here as beggars to get something that we want, even a little bit maybe, but really don't deserve. And that is what, in the seventh verse, was it, of the Brinda Devi Astaka? I'm an offender, so impure, so this, so that. People criticize me, but they only know a little bit. I listen to my mind all day long. I know what the real problems are. Causeless mercy. We do our part and clean this dirty room, but ultimately we're dependent on the mercy of the holy names, of the Vaishnavas, of our Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada, of the dust of Vrindavan, and here of Vrinda Devi. So Krishna was feeling sad. So he told them, Tulsi was feeling sad that her words had made Krishna feel sad. So she said, I'm sorry that I told you that Radharani was here. And soon as Krishna heard, Radharani's here, he again got sad and went into a different flavor of ecstasy. And he said, go, somehow bring her here. She's waiting for you. She's waiting to know, Tulsi said, where to meet you. And Krishna said, bring her to Kantapa Kali Kunj. Bring her to this place right here. I will meet her here. And Krishna was so pleased with Tulsi that he took off the Gunjamala necklace that he was wearing and gave it to Tulsi to wear. And she carried with her a box, a silver, a golden jeweled box, and she opened that up and it had a garland made by Srimati Radharani's own hand. And she gave that to Maru Mangal, and Maru Mangal gave it to Krishna, and Krishna, being touched by something that Srimati Radharani had touched, went into ecstasy. So everything was going so smoothly. Krishna was not with the adults. He was not with the cowherd boys. And Radharani was going to be coming soon. But everything was not going to go smoothly because just then Saibhya came. And who is Saibhya? A very close sakhi friend of Chandravali. And she walked over and she saw Tulsi, Vrinda, Dhanishta, and Krishna. And she knew that where Tulsi Manjari is, then Srimati Radharani is very close. Because the shadow is always close to the object. So do you think she said to Krishna or to Tulsi, oh,
where is Srimati Radharani? You must be with. She was already suspicious because she saw the Gunjan necklace around Tulsi's neck. She was suspicious that something was going on here. So do you think she said, Radharani is right close by, and this isn't fair what you've done, Krishna? No. Everything in Vrindavan is crooked, and no one speaks straight or the truth. So she said, oh, I'm so happy to see you, Tulsi. I have been looking for your dear friend, Radha, because I have been sent by Chandravali, because she has just completed Durga Puja, and we're having a big festival. She was thinking very quickly, but not very straightforwardly. We're having she's holding a big festival, and she told me to invite Radharani to come to the festival. I've been looking everywhere for her, and now I see you. I know she must be nearby so I can invite her. Please tell me where she is. Was she telling the truth? No. In fact, she was lying. Now, Tulsi recognizes a lie. So she said, my dear Saibya, I'm so happy to see you. But Padma, your dear friend and friend of Chandravali, was just here a few moments ago, and she was sent by Chandravali to invite Radharani to the Durga Puja. And Radharani has already left with her friends and relatives with so many presents for Chandravali. She's not here. And everyone was ignoring Shyamasundar. Now, just understand what it's like in Vrindavan. Saibya was lying. There was no Durga festival or anything like that. And Tulsi was lying that Radharani's already gone to the festival. But Saibya couldn't say that you're lying because there's no festival, because that would prove that she was lying. This is the eternal Leela of Krishna. It's very crooked. And Vrindadevi is setting these stages, and Yogamaya is arranging for all these meetings. But it's not over yet. Because Krishna understood that Saibya wanted to speak with her. She was getting an anxiety. She wanted to speak to Krishna alone. And seeing that everyone was ignoring Shyamasundar, he said, let them go, let them go, let them go. They have to go. They were going somewhere. Let them go. So, of course, where were they going? Who remembers the beginning of the story? Where were they going? They were going to tell Srimati Radharani to meet over here. So then, Saibya was alone with Krishna, which is why she was coming. And she said, Krishna, Chandravali is nearby. And she wants to know. Her heart is melting with love for you. And she wants to know where she can meet you. She's nearby now. And she sent me to bring you that message. And Krishna, no straightforward person himself, was feeling very sad inside because he was longing to be with Srimati Radharani. And he said, oh, I'm so happy to hear this. I've been thinking of Chandravali, only of her. And then all of a sudden, Maru Mangal comes running up. And he
he's not always the most straightforward person either. And he said, Krishna, Krishna, remember the message that you just got from your father through Dhanishta, that Kamsa is sending his men to kidnap all the Sarabi cows who you're taking care of. You have to go and see them immediately. And Krishna looked at Saibhya and said, what to do? I have to go. My father needs my help. And then, that's the end of what I wanted to say.
No.
It is, really. But it goes on eternally. There is no time. It is not like in this world where time means the passing of every day is our enemy. It brings us closer to death. Everything, time, everything serves the leelas of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Everything serves the leelas of Krishna. Time expands, the land expands, it contracts, just to bring pleasure to Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And this is, again, a japa retreat. And Krishna is his holy name. And Vrindadevi, in the form of Tulsa Devi, is here. And Srimati Radharani is there in the holy names. And now, and Giriraj is here.
I would like all of you to turn and face Tulsi Devi. Just sit where you are. And just turn so you can see the Tulsi. Tulsi Devi is a desire tree. Our one commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami, says, a desire tree has no material attachments or partiality, but simply bestows its fruits upon those who deserve them and not upon others. But Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada adds, that a desire tree does not think, this person is fit to worship me, but that other person is not. Rather, a desire tree is satisfied with all who properly serve it. So Varijan Prabhu was talking about focusing on your desire. So I would like you to think of your desire for this japa retreat, how you would like to improve, and pray to Tulsi Devi to please help you fulfill that desire. And then we will all chant for about 10 minutes together around the Tulsi tree. It's a very powerful exercise, a very powerful effect of chanting together around the Tulsi. So I would like you to please think of your desire right now.
The best of our desires?
Yes, the best of your desires. Not all of you. Your desire for here and now in this retreat. And for your chanting. Yes, because Burijan was saying focus on your desire, so I assume.
And put energy.
And put energy.
Maharaj had said.
Right.
And put energy. So here we're putting energy into our desire.
Yes, so think of your desire. We're going to put a lot of energy into it. And then we're going to chant for about 10 minutes together around the Tulsi tree. And after that, they can go and chant, wander and chant, or do you have something? So we're just going to concentrate on our desire. And then we'll start chanting japa around the Tulsi tree. Okay. When I tell you, then we'll start chanting.